and the rabbis and the even of later times saw Christianity as being an improvement upon paganism. But they did not see it as a realistic solution to the world's ills. And they felt that the observance of the seven mitzvahs of the sons of Noah, which is the basis of human civilization, could be accomplished without becoming Christian. And that the world generally, therefore, could be better without having to go through all of the writhings of the creation of the church, etc. Now, there are very few good books written on this early subject matter, simply because of the fact that, as I told you, it's enshrouded in mystery. There was a professor at the Hebrew University by the name of Joseph Klausner, who was probably the world's expert on early Christianity. But he had no audience because the Christians wouldn't listen to him, and the Jews said, who has to listen to him? I mean, it's a subject that really did not evoke great response. But he has one book called From Jesus to Paul, which has been translated into English, and it is a in paperback. It's almost readable. And if you will spend some time looking at it, he has very good source material, and he does give a picture, a pattern of the competition between Judaism and Christianity in this century, in the century of the beginning of the Mishnah, in the century of the striving of the Jewish people to build for themselves a spiritual state to replace the physical state, which they have now lost, and they have reconciled themselves to have lost it for some time. They, after Bar Kokhba, there are no more dreams of immediate redemption. There are no more dreams of the fact that Rome will suddenly change its mind and allow the Jews to have an independent state or to build a temple. When the Emperor Hadrian took down the mountain, he made the point very clear. When the Temple Mount was brought down, not just the temple, but the mountain he cut down, and he changed the name of Jerusalem, and he killed all of the leaders of Israel, they got the point. And in fact, had Hadrian lived longer, there is no telling what would have been with the Jewish people. But in 141 of the Common Era, he died. And he was succeeded by a kind and gentle person called Antoninus Pius. Now, in the Talmud, we are told that the great Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, Rabbi Judah the Prince, whom we'll talk about one or two lectures down the road, had a bosom friend who was the Roman general, the Roman governor of Palestine, and later succeeded to become the emperor. And his name was Antoninus. There is a dispute among scholars whether we are speaking about Antoninus Pius, who was the successor to Hadrian, or we're speaking about Antoninus Marcus Aurelius, who was the successor to Antoninus Pius, and who was one of the most famous of the Roman emperors, and one of the leading philosophers and scholars and righteous men of the ancient world. But the Jews now caught a break, so to speak. They are going to have two consecutive reigns of humane, friendly, tolerant emperors. And in this break, which will last about 45 to 50 years, the Jews will be able to build for themselves the infrastructure of a religious existence, of a religious state, which is represented in its culmination by the publishing of the Mishnah, which is the first major work of the oral law ever committed to writing, and which becomes the basis of Judaism as we know it and as it has survived throughout the ages. It's because of this change of rule in Rome that this can happen, because had the decrees of Hadrian continued unabated and had his attitude continued, then the Jews never could have survived.